listening to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldick. We've been doing a bird's eye view of the book of Revelation, and we finally come to the end of this magnificent book. Today we're working in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 to 21, the final words from the book of Revelation. First of all, let's take a look at our journey through the book of Revelation, where we've been so far. John was told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, "Write the things which you have seen." And he did that. He gave us a wonderful, wonderful description of the glorified Christ in his resurrection body, the one who is the mighty one, the Son of God, the altogether wonderful Saviour. Then he was told to write the things which are, which is the church age, chapters 2 and 3 of his book. And we looked at the seven churches and what they represent, what kind of churches they are, what kind of Christians are in them, and the church age through the centuries. And then verse 19, the things which will take place after this concerning the seven-year reign of the Antichrist, which is divided into two parts. The first 3.5 years is a time of pseudo-peace when he takes control of the entire world. And then the last 3.5 years are years of trauma when all those seals and trumpet judgments and bowl judgments are poured out on the earth and all the nations come down to reclaim their sovereignty from the Antichrist and there's terrible, terrible war in the land. That concerns most of the book of Revelation. Chapter 13 gives you a description of the Antichrist with his second in command, the false prophet, and talks about the global financial system that he uses to control the world. And then from chapter 6 onwards, we read about the last 3.5 years of his reign. And then we looked at Revelation chapter 19, and we saw the moment we've all been praying for, the second coming of Christ to this earth, when he stands on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We find that in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. John writes, he said, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse." Remember the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, the arrival of the Antichrist, the pseudo-Messiah? Well, this is the real Messiah, and John makes it very clear who he is. He says, "Behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Those are the saints that have been raptured who come back with him and all the saints back to earth at the end of the seven-year reign of Antichrist. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our journey through the book of Revelation has brought us now to the culmination of the great battle of Armageddon. When Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom, the Antichrist and the false prophet are cast into hell. Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and in the 1,000-year reign, millennial reign of Christ takes place. The most wonderful thing is that the Lord is going to restore the earth. It's going to get a makeover, and it's going to be just as beautiful, if not more beautiful, in the Garden of Eden. There's going to be peace and security under King Jesus. Evil people will be under control. We know that there will be unsaved people at that time because the Lord is going to reign with a rod of iron. And then we will be fulfilling our role as members of the royal family as we reign with Christ. What a time. What a magnificent time that is going to be. We know after the 1,000 years reign, we saw that Satan was released and he raised up the people living on the earth who didn't know the Lord. We were anti the Lord, and there was a great satanic rebellion which was crushed by the Lord without even any fighting, just with the brightness of his glory, he crushed them. That's followed by the great white throne judgment, which we've already talked about, the new heavens and the new earth, when the Lord said, "I'm going to destroy these heavens and this earth with fire." And then there's going to be the new Jerusalem, which is our eternal home, and we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. That is a summary of what the book of Revelation tells us is going to happen from now onwards, following the rapture of the church. So we get some final words from the good book. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6, the Lord says, John says, "He said to me, these words are faithful and true." What is written in the book of Revelation is sure and certain, and it's going to come to pass exactly as the Lord said. These words are faithful and true, And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. The coming of the Lord for his church is very close, very, very close indeed. And then John goes on to say that this message is urgent. Revelation chapter 22 verse 7, the Lord says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." That word means suddenly. He says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." As you've worked through the book and studied the book with me, I pray that you will take notice of things the Lord has said and just follow him with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Interesting that Daniel was told in Esau that the Lord showed him were for the last days. And the Lord told him in Daniel chapter 12 verse 4, he said, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." He said, "Daniel, what I'm showing you is for the end times." 600 years later, he shows the same things to John, who writes them down and says, "The Lord is coming quickly." He said, "You will know when the end times come, because many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." People are flying all over the world and traveling. If you just sit in a major airport, an airport like Dallas or New York or London, and just see people running to and fro and knowledge increasing. I heard a professor say that if you could contain the whole of knowledge in a 24-hour period, all the major discoveries happened in the last half hour. My dad died at 90, just over 90. He'd never seen a smart TV, never seen a smart cell phone. He'd never heard of drones and electric cars. All the knowledge has come about in this last period of time. And that's what the Lord told Daniel. He said, "Daniel, seal your prophecy I shared with you, because these are for the end times when people run to and fro and knowledge increases." But when he gives the same prophecies to John, John says, he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." That's Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. The Lord says, "John, it's coming very, very soon. These things are going to be fulfilled, and we can see prophecies being fulfilled every day. Just turn on the news and watch prophecy being fulfilled." And he gives John some instructions for these critical times in Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw," he said, "I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things." This angel brought this great revelation to John from the Lord himself. And John said, "When I heard and I saw," he said, "and I fell down on my face at the feet of this angel. I was so overwhelmed." And the angel said to me, "John, see that you do not do that. For I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book." And he says to John, "Worship God." The Lord said in the first commandment that we are to worship him only. We're not to worship angels, we're not to worship people, we're not to worship things, but to worship God. And that's what John was told. "Don't fall at my feet, John. I'm just a messenger of God. Worship God." Exodus 20 verse 3 tells us, "One of the commandments, you shall have no other gods before me." No other gods. That's what the Lord says. In chapter 22 verses 12 to 14, John lists the blessings of the saved. The Lord says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." And he says, "When I come," listen to the saints, "when I come, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." We know that we're going to meet with the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, and there he's going to reward us for the things that we've done, from putting flowers in the church, to giving someone a lift, to holding great campaigns and winning many for the Lord. He's going to give everyone his reward, even for a cup of cold water given in his name. He's going to give to everyone according to his works. The Lord says, "I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. There's no other God before me." And then he says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." One time the Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Why do you say you love me and you don't do what I tell you?" He said, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the holy city, the New Jerusalem." If we want to know what God's commandments are, we need to read our Bible every day. Every day. Many people just read the Psalms or the Proverbs, or they read devotionals with other people's thoughts and maybe just a verse of scripture. Sometimes when you go to church, the Bible is hardly even opened and you hardly hear anything of the Bible. We're so tired of men's philosophies, and I want to encourage you to read the Bible. If you go to my website, valwaldick.com, you'll see on the front page there's a little seal. It says, join the New Testament challenge. And I have this challenge there to read through the New Testament in 260 days. Just have a look at that. I encourage you to become part of that. You'll receive an email every morning with the next chapter to read. And in 260 days, you will have read the New Testament from cover to cover. The Lord says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22. What a day that will be. But sadly, the unsaved, when the rapture happens, will suffer great loss. The Lord says in Revelation 22 verses 15 and 16, he tells John, outside are dogs. Now that sounds like a terrible thing to call people dogs. Why did the Lord call people dogs? You see, dogs was an insulting term Jewish people called the Gentiles dogs. In the first century, packs of wild dogs roamed through the city streets and scavenged from trash and dead bodies, and they were considered unclean. And so the Jews considered Gentiles unclean. But the Lord doesn't consider Gentiles or Jews unclean. Those who don't know the Lord, whose names are not written in the book of life, sadly, they haven't been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb, and so they find themselves in an unclean position at the great white throne judgment. And the Lord says, outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Lord said, the unsaved are going to suffer terrible loss if they don't turn to the Lord before he returns. And I love it that Revelation has shown us the terrible things that are going to happen during the 7-year reign of Antichrist, gives us an invitation. The Lord tells us the door is still open. If you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus, you haven't received him in your heart as the Savior, you've only acknowledged him mentally, today open the door of your heart and listen to this invitation from Revelation 22 verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. If you believe it today and you hear this, we need to say, come to our generation. Come to Jesus. Open your heart. As Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, he stands at the door of every heart and he knocks. And those who open the door will find that he comes into their lives. So those who hear say, come. The bride says, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires can take of the water of life freely. The door's still open. There's enough time left to make a reservation in heaven. And then the book has this very serious warning in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. John writes, he says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Listen to this carefully. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. There are many people who've added prophecies and all kinds of things to the Word of God, all kinds of interpretations instead of taking the Word of God and comparing Scripture with Scripture and listening to the doctrine that the Bible gives us. They've added all kinds of things. And the Lord says, don't fiddle with my Word. Don't change my Word. Don't add anything to my Word. Otherwise, you're going to be in serious trouble with him. God says, I will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And another serious warning, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Verses 18 and 19. If we take away from the Word of God, if we deny the Word of God, if we say that's not true, that's just men's philosophy. These aren't anointed, Spirit-inspired words. This is not a supernatural book. It's just man's thoughts. And God's revealing new things to us, and that's what you should listen to. If you add to or take away from God's book, folks, there's serious trouble ahead, especially if you fiddle with prophecy. And I want to speak to those who love the Lord, who love his word, who are looking for his coming, waiting for his appearing, who've got the eyes fixed on the clouds. This is your guaranteed destiny, child of God. He who overcomes, the Lord said, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. What a wonderful future we're going to have in the New Jerusalem. Because the Bible says there's going to be no temple there. The Lord himself will be the temple. So we're going to be living very close to Jesus himself. And what a wonderful day that's going to be. And this is what God has testified. This is 1 John 5 verses 11 to 13. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now take notice of this. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. There may be many ways to heaven, but there's only one door, and we know who the door is. Jesus said, I am the door. Whoever enters in by me will enter into heaven. He said, no one can come to the Father except by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. He's given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Do you want to get to heaven? Whoever has the Son has life. Have you just got religion? Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And John says, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. That word believe doesn't just mean mental assent, but it means giving your life to the Lord. It means leaning on God with your head and with your heart and being born again of the Spirit of God. So folks, I want to close this study with a lovely word from 1 John 5 verses 2 and 3. I want to encourage you in these rough times, these end times which are becoming more difficult. I know we used to say before that we're looking so forward to the end times and the return of Jesus, but it's not much fun living in these end times because they're full of trouble. But I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Beloved, says John, now we are the children of God, but it hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Don't try to live as close to the world as you can, but live as close to Jesus as you can. Keep on keeping on. Walk with the Lord in purity and holiness, because the best is yet to be. I love what 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 promises us. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has got so many wonderful things ahead of us, and we have no idea how wonderful they are. It hasn't even entered into our heart or imagination, the things that God has prepared. So keep your eyes on the clouds. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. What is your response to that? Are you saying, amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Or are you saying, Lord, not yet, not yet, I'm not ready? If you're not ready, get ready. Get ready. Confess things that have hurt the Lord and that have grieved the Holy Spirit in your life. Get right with people. If you need to write a letter or make a phone call or speak to someone, put things right. If you're doing things that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of, leave them and run to Jesus because he's coming quickly. We must be rapture ready. So we've come to the end of the book of Revelation, and I want to give you a benediction from verse 21 of chapter 22. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Every one of you who are listening, grace means undeserved favor and blessing. If you don't deserve grace from God, his grace is available to you. Undeserved favor and blessing. May the undeserved favor and blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And the closing blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6 verses 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Please visit my website, valwaldick.com, for further information. God bless you.